Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A few weeks back, the weekend before July 4th, I don't know if you remember it, but people all around the world were celebrating gay pride events. I even saw it on German news. Cities all throughout Germany were having parades and celebrations. Even in our neck of the woods, here in Chicago, we had our 50th annual Gay Pride Parade. 50 years. Now, out west, if you haven't heard, about 36 members of the California legislature were working these last few weeks on passage of Concurrent Resolution 99. It's a resolution that goes after pastors and religious leaders who preach that same-sex relations are, quote, unethical or harmful. The resolution puts restrictions on California pastors. They cannot legally teach that homosexuality is a sin or discourage homosexual lifestyles. Now, no doubt the resolution will get challenged in court, but it's a sign of our times. Our government, our entire society, is growing increasingly hostile to a biblical form of Christianity. It may be one of these days, pastors will need to serve jail time for preaching the Word of God. Already, many believe what Scripture says are labeled bigots or considered dangerous. I wonder what they think about Jesus. Didn't he talk about how marriage is always between one man and one woman for the rest of their lives? The times are growing darker. But we should not be discouraged by this. There were dark times in the ministry of Jesus. In fact, we see the very same darkness in and around our gospel text this morning. Jesus, too, had to face rejection from this world. Now, just before the events of our gospel text, Jesus had approached a Samaritan village that was on his way to Jerusalem. Well, the village refused to let him enter. They'd have nothing to do with him. Well, James and John were offended and offered to call down fire from heaven to incinerate the village. Wow. Jesus had to rebuke the two overzealous disciples. But then, ironically, he lamented how he had no place to lay his head. It's a very dark episode as Jesus faces that village's rejection. Well, right after that, three would-be disciples are at least honest with Jesus that they're not willing to leave everything behind to follow him. They refused the Lord's call. Again, very dark. And then we have those scandalous deleted verses. Did you notice our gospel list this morning had some missing verses? Apparently they weren't ready for prime time. And you may also have noticed that those scandalous verses are there at the beginning of your bulletins. In verses 13 to 15, Jesus pronounces hellfire and judgment on the cities that reject his message. So the verses we have for our gospel text are right smack dab in the midst of cities and potential disciples rejecting Jesus' message. It's a very dark setting. And as our world grows ever more hostile to the Christian message, some of us can relate to the darkness and rejection that Jesus was facing. Some of us have seen it ourselves. And in the midst of all this, Jesus sends a group of disciples out to spread the message of the kingdom. He tells them not to worry about taking a money bag or a travel bag or sandals. They're just going to have to trust God to provide for them. And yet he also warns them that there will be rejection. When you enter any town and they don't welcome you, go out in the streets and say, "We are wiping even the dust of any of your town that clings to our feet as a witness against you." So not only are our evangelists going with literally nothing and needing support from the people they witness to, they're probably going to get rejected, at least by some. Didn't Jesus just get rejected by an entire town? And even more, Jesus warns them, "I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." Now, I don't know about you, but the prospect of taking nothing with me as I go face wolves would be more than a little unnerving. As Jesus sends the 72 out, it may seem incredibly dark for them too. And yet, despite the darkness at this point in Jesus' ministry, we start getting glimpses of something else. The Lord of 12 apostles, right? Now he's sending out 72. No matter how much Jesus gets rejected, did you notice how the kingdom of God keeps growing and requiring more workers? No matter how much rejection disciples may face, the harvest remains abundant and the workers are few. I mean, we keep having to pray and ask the Lord for more workers. I mean, the word of the Lord has this explosive force. Jesus sent them out in pairs, two by two, as God requires in his law to serve as his witnesses. So, how's it go? When the 72 return from their labors, they report back with joy all over their faces. I mean, they were excited. Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. I mean, they'd gone out in the world with virtually nothing, but it had become clear to them that they were fully equipped. They went in the power of the Lord. And there's a lesson here for us. No matter how dire the situation may be, no matter how dark our world may seem, we enjoy the power of the Lord in our lives. We don't need to worry about the spiritual darkness that surrounds us. It's in the midst of darkness that the light shines most brightly. Faced with all this enthusiasm, Jesus couldn't help but agree. I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. The enemy's defeated. Look, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing at all will harm you. Now, did you notice that Jesus did not tell them this before they went? He sends them out and lets them face the forces of darkness without any resources, or at least on the surface. They go in faith, and they come back realizing that even with no money or shoes on their feet, they enjoy the power of the Lord over the forces of evil. You know, my wife and I offer this running commentary on the darkness of our times to our children, and they've not now gone off to fight their own spiritual battles. And you know, we keep telling them that they should consider themselves fortunate to live in these times. As the darkness of our world grows thicker, as the end of the world grows nearer, those of us who believe in the Lord are making an even greater difference. It is an honor to serve the Lord in these times. One of my former colleagues at the college was a Christian, one of our few. She served in the college's administration as a vice president. And when she left us a few months ago to take a job down south, I told her, you know what? Our college just lost a little of its saltiness. After a moment's pause, as she realized what I was saying, tears streamed down her cheeks. The Lord's workers are making a difference in this world. Now, usually we don't see any results from our witness. We don't need to. All we're asked by the Lord is to remain faithful. We share our faith with others, like the 72 we're doing. We share with people about the Lord of our lives. We cling each day to our Savior. That's all the Lord asks of his good and faithful servants, to remain faithful, that we cling to him in faith as we do the work that he has for us to do. Well, it turns out that our 72 were not rejected everywhere they went. No. Their message of peace was received gratefully by the children of peace, the Lord's own. As we remain faithful, it should become clear over time that the Lord has given us power for our witness. Jesus told his disciples, "Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." I mean, do you realize that wherever you go, you're never alone in your witness? The Lord is right there with you. I mean, sometimes we're a bit timid to share the message of Christ with others. But as Jesus put it, whoever receives you is really receiving him. You're speaking as his representative. So what if they reject your witness to the Savior? Don't worry about it. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord. There are hidden spiritual realities swirling all about us that we do not see. But know well, the demons fear your witness. They are frightened by those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're frightened of you. They would do anything to keep you from realizing what it means for you to be carrying the power of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. Years ago, I read a science fiction series by a guy named Pierce Anthony. He's a popular writer, and it was a novel about the office of death. I guess it's the idea of a novel about death that intrigued me. Well, it turns out in the story that human beings are tapped one at a time over the years to serve as death. Of course, they have the usual duties, to show up on time, to collect the souls. Well, a fellow found himself in the role after dispatching the soul of the guy who went before him. So he learns how to administer his office. Now, this fellow does his work in a gentle, respectful, merciful manner as people face their ends. Eventually, though, the man realized that Satan was trying to get in his way and foil his work. He ended up having to do battle with Satan. Well, the previous office holder told him all about the powerful cape that death wore. So our new guy came to believe he was nothing without the cape that death was always supposed to wear. He thought he'd be powerless without it. Well, then, during a climactic battle with Satan, he realized something. He left the cape behind to walk forward and confront Satan without it. He defeated the devil. In that moment, he realized that all along, he had embodied his office. He embodied death. Now, that's just science fiction. But it's a lot like our Christian experience. We always think that we need something else, that something more before we give our witness or before we fight our battles. Satan always wants us to think that we're not yet properly equipped to do our work. It was never about the equipment. It was always about who you are. As those who belong to Jesus Christ, we embody Christ to the world around us. At any given moment, you are never alone in your witness or in your battles. The moment you realize the incredible power the Lord has granted you, don't rejoice in that. No. Don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's why you can go on the road barefoot, without a dime in your pocket to tell people about the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're an unlettered, uneducated fisherman. The greatest source of confidence is that no matter what may happen to you, you have an eternity in heaven waiting for you just around the corner. And knowing what's just around the corner waiting for you, what's there to fear? Our names are already inscribed, written in heavenly ink. Again, what is there to fear? No matter what our world may be like. Yes, we have more and more to do all the time as a Christian people. Seems to me we could use a few more laborers in the harvest. Time to start praying. We pray to the Lord to send more workers into the harvest. And as for us, let each one of us respond to the words of the prophet. Here am I. Send me. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.